Let's Talk with Anna Glavinsky.
My next guest, I'm looking forward to this as a keen cyclist myself. I love a cycling story and I'm no stranger to the enjoyment and thrill of just rolling along the streets on your bicycle. But our next guest has taken it to the next level. It's not his first big ride, but it's a yet another big ride. He's written a book about it from central London all the way through to the West Coast, having adventures on the way and just seeing the world from a different perspective. He's joining me on the line. It is Steve Silk and his book is called Go West. And I can see that his audio is switched off. So if he could just pop the audio on, fantastic. Steve, good morning. How are you doing?
Morning. Really well. Thank you very much. Yeah, all the way from London to the Welsh coast in 8 glorious days. Sunshine all the way. Spanish style weather, even though I was in Wales for half of it.
How did you manage to book that one on the plate?
I'm not sure. I think it was just sheer luck. The last time, you mentioned this isn't my first rodeo like this, the last time I went north and I had a northerly wind in my face for the first 9 of 11 days. So I felt like God needed to, you know, pay me back a little bit.
And what time of year did you go, actually? How much did you gamble?
No, I didn't gamble at all. Actually, the first one I did was in May, and it's colder than you think sometimes in England in May, isn't it? So this time I went for June, and I absolutely got seriously lucky.
And how much planning went into this? Obviously, no one can control the weather, but you can make some sort of informed decisions about when you go. Beyond that, how much decision-making was there and planning in advance?
I always have mixed feelings about planning, because I think part of the joy of cycling is just the serendipity of who you find and what you find along the way. So, for example, I didn't really plan my route until the last 3 days, which perhaps I'll come on to. So for the first 4 or 5 days, I just went with the wind. I was roughly following the route of the A40, a main, often dual carriageway, which is obviously not much fun to cycle on. But I was always on the roads alongside it or just within a mile or two of it. But I genuinely like to get to a junction and think, well, what do I fancy today? Well, look, that looks good over there. There's a steep hill over that way, so I'll go the other way and just see where life takes me. The road less travelled, as you know, is normally the road you should take.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes things more interesting. But did you have a goal in mind? Did you actually have the destination planned?
Or did you just think,
I've got 8 days, going to see where I end up?
No, I very much had a destination in mind. I'd set out to get to Fishguard. I was following in the footsteps of an Edwardian cyclist who'd done much the same as me in 1905. So more than 100 years later, I had his books. He wrote 2 volumes. I've only done the 1 volume. I had those in my pannier. So some of the route, I shadowed exactly what he did. As it happens, the main road in his day used to go to a place called Milford Haven, but now the ferries go to Ireland from Fishguard. So I adjusted just at the end. But it's lovely to follow in the tire tracks of an Edwardian gent with a handlebar moustache and very traditional views. He's rude about most people outside London, particularly the Welsh. obviously, I'm not. But it was lovely to. So I had that destination in mind. It was a case of how precisely do I get there that was still up for grabs.
And what about time limit? Did you set yourself a goal?
I did set myself a goal, not least because halfway through the book, I'm joined by 3 of my mates from back home. So I knew that we were all meeting up for a bite to eat and a couple of pints in Monmouth on the English-Welsh border. So I had to make it there for then. And the terrain is that much tougher and steeper in Wales. And I was very, very grateful to having the 3 lads with me, because a ride shared is definitely a mileage halved.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of reasons for that in cycling, isn't there? The first of all is just the motivation, the animation of having some mates with you. But you can also sort of ride together and protect each other from the wind. Did you do any of that sort of thing?
Well, no, we're not good enough for that. You know, when you see those guys in peloton formation and they each take turns on the front, We're more messing about on a towpath next to a canal and arguing over whether we should stop at this cafe or the next cafe. And so we're never quite as head down, as clad in Lycra and as organised as that, if I'm honest. But you're absolutely right on the camaraderie and just the sort of bantership of having a few people together. It just genuinely does make the miles fly by.
And I mean, you say that you're not that good, but I mean, you cycled a pretty long way. And also, there's a review of your book that says, you know, something like that it's a joy for people who are sitting on the sofas and like a motivation for them to get up. Is that where you would sort of position yourself? You don't really define yourself as a cyclist, either you or your mates. And does your book show how a regular person can just get up off the sofa and go on to sort of two-wheeled adventure?
I'm so glad you phrased it like that. I think you've absolutely nailed it there. What I'm all about is just admitting that I'm not particularly sporty, not particularly young, to say the least, but anyone can do more than they think they can if they get on a bike. And in my case, because I knew I was doing this, a little bit of training, but not too much training. But after a while, after sort of day three or day four, the body kind of adjusts to this new life. You know, it just sort of says, oh, right, office Steve is out the window and this rarely spotted active Steve has got to get his act together. I'm not saying that I don't ache at the end of the day, but it's just that real sort of honest to goodness ache that means you just crash out and sleep just like that. Honestly, at the end of a day's hard work. And remember, I'm not doing 100 miles a day. I'm not, you know, some people do even more than that. I'm doing more like 40 or 50 miles and searching out the funny little museum that no one else knows is there in the meantime as well.
Yeah, so I guess it's all about the actual travel element rather than the sporting achievement element. But how did you go from, you know, office Steve, regular guy, to sporty, stretchy Lycra Steve on a bicycle? Where did this idea come from to start doing these mad adventures?
I've always been a cyclist, I guess, in that I grew up on a bike. I wouldn't have called myself a cyclist when I was growing up in the late 70s, early 80s. It's just that every kid was on a bike at that point, and we never thought anything of, you know, cycling 3 or 4 miles to our mates or wherever it was. Later on, I happened by sheer accident to have the coolest job I've ever had as a cycle messenger in San Francisco in 1989, where I was delivering parcels from A to B in a very, very hilly city. I didn't set out to be in San Francisco to do that, but that was just a job I got. So I got the bug then, and then I sort of forgot about it for reasons I can't quite adequately explain, and fell back in love with it. Maybe when I was sort of in my mid-40s, as the kids were sort of growing out of pushchairs and things, and I could suddenly have a little bit more time to go out and explore again.
And well, tell us a little bit about some of the explorations. What was it like travelling through that part of the country, and what sort of things did you see and come across?
Well, let's take the Cotswolds, for example. I mean, everyone knows that the Cotswolds is beautiful and timeless and quintessentially English. But there are a number of places where it's too well known. It's too popular. There are ice cream vans on every corner. There are coach parks here and attractions there. But what I discovered by going along something called the Windrush Valley is that there are loads and loads of gorgeous little villages that are just as beautiful. The limestone buildings are just as honey coloured, and no one's there. No one knows about these places. So that was the real magic to me, to go to somewhere that you think you might know and you think's been discovered, and to find out, to your delight, that you can still be all alone in places where people appreciate tourists rather than are bored by them, and just chat away, meet interesting people. I met an American couple in a very, very obscure churchyard on the outskirts of maybe 10, 15 miles from Oxford. And they'd come all the way from America just to do a so-called Downton tour. The bit that I was in wasn't anything to do with Downton Abbey, but they were there for another slightly more niche historical reason. But it was wonderful to be in this glorious English sloping churchyard with particular kinds of tombstones that don't exist anywhere else but the Windrush Valley, and hear Jeff from North Carolina say, "This is amazing. I've been waiting for this ever since COVID. Downton Abbey got me through COVID, but my wife and I promised each other we'd come here afterwards. And suddenly, I'm not the most naturally patriotic person, but I was sort of filled with a soft patriotic pride that here was Jeff appreciating this place and making me appreciate it through his eyes. That's the other thing about cycling, particularly when you're cycling on your own, that you have these wonderful conversations with people that you might not bother with if you were with your other half or you were with your mates. But there's something about cycling alone that, of course, makes you more open to just that casual conversation.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because your book starts in central London, and that's where I'm from originally. And when you live in London, you can get this sort of warped perspective that that is England or Great Britain, you know, that the whole of the rest of the country and the Isles are like that. But as you say, it's really amazing to discover that this sort of traditional old school England and Wales still does exist in a way outside of the big metropolis.
Absolutely. And when I was doing my Great North Road big ride, I was really on the lookout for the difference between when do we hit the north-south divide, which is defined for me as when people start talking to you for no apparent reason. The Northerners are just wonderfully friendly, aren't they? And they just have a chat. And that happened in Nottinghamshire. I well remember that moment. I think, right, now I'm in the North.
Yeah, it did not happen in London. I'm sure of that.
It did not happen in London. But exactly the same thing happens going west out of London. So I realised that I'd framed that badly, that it's not really a north-south divide. It's just a sort of London and southeast bubble thing, isn't it? And I'm not having a pop at that. That's where I'm from too. It's just that there are so many people and it's so busy that we just ain't got the time. But the minute I was in it, it was a place called Mitchell Dean, which is in the middle of the Forest of Dean. And again, I was in this cafe and everyone's up for a chat. No one seemed to have met each other before, but everyone's up for a bit of a chat about this and that. And I suddenly thought, ah, right, I've cracked it now. I'm out of that London southeast bubble. I can relax. I'm not even going to bother locking the bike outside here. I know it's going to be safe. So yes, it is a wonderful thing. And it just, that feeling keeps growing the further out you get from the capital.
And any negative moments, or was it all literally sunshine and English roses?
Do you know what it was this time? Again, I don't say that to be, oh, isn't everything wonderful? Because on the Great North Road ride, I had had a couple of days where it was just a bit too much. And I hadn't quite realised that I'm not quite as good at being on my own for day upon day as I thought I was. So I structured this one differently. This was 8 days. I had 4 days on my own. And then the lads joined me for days 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8. So I just sort of paced it better in terms of people. I paced it better in terms of my natural mileage for a day is about 45. So I wasn't absolutely cream crackered on any of the days. So no, I can honestly say it was all good, because think about it. All I've got to do is get from A to B during a day and have a nice time along the way and just drink endless cups of coffee and have a nice bit of cake and have a chat. Why wouldn't it be wonderful? That's what Go West is all about.
So how does the book read? Is it just, you know, a nice, gentle, lighthearted read? What's it like?
Yeah, it is. My day job is in TV. Okay. So I'm always writing for the spoken word. I write the introductions that news presenters read. So I hope that my style when I'm writing in the book is quite conversational. And I do go off into 1,000 different rabbit holes of what I hope are interesting, quirky, geographical, topographical, historical facts. But I hope that I have a journalistic instinct there to keep it pacey, to keep those short stories at the right length before back we are on the road. That's the wonderful thing about a travelogue. The nature of the book, the nature of what I'm writing is set out for you. You can always go back to next village, next problem with the bike, whatever it is. The pace is quite handy in a travelogue like that.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been very heartwarming. The book is called Go West. It's by Steve Silk. You can find it on Amazon or the Talk Radio Europe bookshop, or indeed just pop it into Google and I'm sure you can get your hands on it. Hopefully, Steve, people have been inspired to read your book. But I also like to think that maybe people have been inspired to get out on their bikes and try a bit of an adventure like you did as well. But thank you so much for talking to us today.
Absolutely. Just give it a go.
Thanks. Goodbye.